post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Welcome to the near post. I hope you were singing along at home like Terry was in the studio. My name's Eamon Flanagan. We're talking football across the Australian Community Radio Network. Michelle and Fitzham have gone down the coast to sell the A-League message for Canberra down in Batemans Bay. And with me in the studio this week, for the full hour, last week we got a little bit, we had a lightning strike. So after 10 minutes, it actually was probably our best show ever, although our listeners couldn't hear it, unfortunately, because after 10 minutes we were struck down. Terry Henry, you're back with us.
I am.
It's great to have you back, Terry.
Thanks very much. Great shirt, by the way.
Thank you very much. It looks good on radio. And joined this in the studio with us, as always, Russ Gibbs. How are you, Russ?
I'm very good, thanks very much.
Good, you're looking good. Now, well, this week we're going to talk A-League, W-League, big week for the W-League, so we're going to go through all of that and more. We've got heaps of stuff. Quiz dedications, you name it, we've got it. And you can catch us on email us, nearpost2xx@gmail.com, or catch the podcast on the blog, www.nearpost.blogspot.com. And, of course, special news this week, the Near Post, Far Post, Canberra United W League Player of the Year Award. You can vote. Anybody can vote. So go on the blog and get or email us with your 3-2-1, with the first being the best and second and third in descending order. But go on the blog and check out the details and you'll get a chance to vote for the Canberra United Player of the Year in the W League. Now, the quiz question. Oh, no, we'll dedicate the show first of all. We'll dedicate the show this week to... well, the two teams in the W League final thought it was appropriate, historic inaugural W League final, Canberra United and the Queensland Roar. So good luck to those teams. They're playing at 3 o'clock Queensland time, which is 4 o'clock for the rest of us on Saturday in Queensland. It'll be stinking hot at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Quick thought, Terry?
Well, fantastic. But one quick question is, why don't more people go to watch the women's game?
That is a good question, Terry. And my daughter, actually, who is 9, posed that question. And I'm going to ask you that in a moment when we're talking about the W League, OK? So why don't more people go and watch the W League game? And Terry, I know that you, as a mad keen football fan who hasn't been to any W League games, will have the answer for my daughter. OK, the quiz question this week. We're sticking with a theme because we love themes on this show. And we're sticking with the theme of Grand Final football. Name all the goal scorers in the men's A-League Grand Finals. That's a pretty easy one for Terry. You've been to a few Grand Finals. So name all... He's busy writing down already. Name all the... just name them. All the goal scorers.
Go at McKellar Stadium. Canberra United lead Sydney FC 1-0. Coach Robbie Hooker urges his player forward. Lydia Williams throws the ball to captain Ellie Brush. Hasn't she been good today? Brush plays a delightful ball to Chapman. The Matilda star drives to the line, across to the near post, and Caitlin Munoz volleys home. It's 2-0. Canberra United have the points. What a goal! What a game!
And you can catch Russ Gibbs and the team call all the Canberra United home games live and exclusive. You can't catch Russ Gibbs anymore calling those games because we don't have any more home games. But you're listening to 2XX 98.3 FM. You're listening across the Australian Community Radio Network on the Community Satellite. Okay, name the goal scorers in all the A-League finals, Terry.
Okay, I'm getting there. Steve Corica in year one in
Steve Corica.
Sydney.
Yep, Dwight York final. Dwight York final, as it's now known.
And then the following year, there was a little game down at the Telstra Dome in Melbourne, which I seem to recall that you and I were there.
We were there. Historic.
And
we went to take over AFL land. We couldn't believe there was going to be a football game, domestic football game sold out.
And unreal. Great night. And Archie, he scored one or two, didn't he?
He did.
Or was it five?
Yeah, he got five.
And then I thought it was all stopped. But then Russ said, no, it's not. And it was the guy who came on as sub. And I can't for the life of me remember who
good.
It was.
And the last, and the next one?
Bridges.
Mark Brittell, you've got one. And Russ, the expert.
Christian Sarkis.
There you go. Well done, Terry. That's not bad, actually.
Thanks very much.
I'm impressed for an Arsenal fan. That's excellent. you don't normally score that many goals that you have to remember. Although that was the old days, wasn't it? That was
1-0, the old days. Well, not at the moment.
1-0 to the Arsenal or 1-0 to the other team.
They're going back to those old days at the moment.
Okay, we've got a heap of news. First, what have we got?
News. Oh, Kalina's coming home. Could be a good song. I assume that means Jason coming home to play in the A-League. First sort of really big name Socceroo to come back to the A-League whilst still in his prime.
I'm still under 30, yeah, 29. Yeah. So why is he doing it? We might discuss that later. But
Yeah, Nicola Topostani signed for the Newcastle Jets. Supposed to be signing for Sydney FC was the big word on the street, but he's put pen to paper for the Jets, which is...
I think your sources are a bit dodgy.
Yeah.
ACL football, maybe the attraction, do you think?
That could be it.
Yeah. Paul Okon's under-18s off to play China in the Youth Olympics.
And that's actually in Sydney, so they're not really off anyway. But anyway.
Well, yeah, they're off to Sydney, aren't they?
Well, yeah, they're off to Sydney. And Kofi Dunning's been pulled out of that squad. What do you think about that? John Kazmunas pulled him out of a national team squad.
He's obviously too valuable for them now, and that'll be making him. We'll see him starting for Sydney next weekend, probably then.
Yeah, but they're out of everything, aren't they? I mean, they can mathematically still get in, but I mean, shouldn't he be playing in the under-18 team? Don't know.
That's one for Cozzy. Asian Champions League draw: Jets and Mariners off to China, Japan, and Korea in their pool matches. Two to qualify from each group. We can't read out the names of who they're playing against because our pronunciation's not great.
Well, we could, but no, we don't actually have the names.
Oh, is that what it is?
We can pronounce anything.
Yeah, okay, we'll try and get them for you next week because Eamon's a bit slack this week.
I've been off the job. Ross Aloisi is a commentator's nightmare. He apparently has had loads of complaints because he's been doing some sideline research or chat on Fox, and now last week or two he's been sort of Simon Hill's sidekick. But apparently when there's been a couple of players have made fouls, you know, when other... Say, I don't know, who were they playing? I can't even remember. They were playing Newcastle Jets, I think. And, you know, a couple of Newcastle players were going past Scott Jamieson, for example, and he just sort of chopped them down and whatever. And Ross said that was a very good foul.
There were good fouls and bad fouls. And the good fouls, according to our Ross, you know, the star defender that he was, are the ones that broke up the play, so, you know, broke up any attack.
There was one in the W League on the weekend where Lena Kalmis brought down a Queensland player, and the commentary team said, yeah, that was a good foul.
That was a good foul.
Because it was in the area of the field where the foul was needed to be made.
We don't approve of that.
We're not approving that at all. No.
That's not our style of football, is it? I mean, we know you have to do it, and you know you do it, but, I mean, to be saying it's a good foul...
That's Wimbledon from the 80s, isn't it?
Get him off the Fox commentary team. All right, we want to promote positive football.
Bring back Robbie Slater. I never thought I'd say that.
Bring back Robbie Slater. The Near Post campaign to bring back Robbie Slater starts here. It's another campaign.
That's definitely bringing the game.
Actually, we love you really, Robbie.
Yeah, they got the wrong Aloisi on Fox.
Well, John could go out there. He's not doing much else, is he?
No, that's right.
And while we're on I suppose commentator's nightmare or Gooses of the Year, Gary Van Egmond gets my Goose of the Year award or Goose of the Week award. He's been criticising young players. Jesse Pinto was brought off on the weekend for saying that basically he brought him on for 15 minutes and said he was the worst player on there. He's only 18, so he brought him on. And Casper Tafta got blamed for the Jets season.
It's terrible.
I mean, how can you be criticising young guys like that? So last season Gary Van Egmond was called the Coach of the Year. This year his team is bottom, but he's also showing that he perhaps lacking a little bit of ticker. So
well,
come on, Gary.
He said the other week he seemed to have lost his head a bit at the end of that game where he went off at the what's his face that took the dive.
He did.
But
Adelaide, yeah.
We're not condoning that either.
We don't condone that either. No, more news.
More news, yes. Okay, Coffey, we talked about him before, but Coffey Danning scores for Sydney on debut. So his new nickname is Instant Coffey.
Well, it is, but it would be if his name was Coffey. Isn't it Kofi?
Kofi, I'm going.
Yeah,
for.
But anyway, that's okay.
Well,
very
I'm very
funny.
Sorry, my Ghanaian pronunciation might be a little bit dodgy.
Richard
Instant
Jones.
Kofi.
Okay. Yeah, well, it's very funny the fifth time. Okay, next one.
W League Grand Final this weekend. We'll talk about it in a minute. Queensland Roar against Canberra United. We're all pretty excited about that one.
We are, and Canberra United fans have got a special treat in store because not only down the near post, Russ Gibbs has done a fantastic job putting together the yearbook, which is coming out in probably the next week or so. Features from... Who have we got, Russ?
Tom Samani.
Fantastic.
We've got Mark Parton from 104.7 FM.
He's actually moved to 2CC.
2CC, well, okay. We've got Heather Reid, the CEO of Capital Football. We've got the captain, we've got Ellie Brush. We've got the coach, Robbie Hooker.
Basically,
if you're not in it,
who are you?
Who are you? Absolutely.
It's a fantastic job. Well done, Russ, and we look forward to that. And we're going to talk W League right after this.
Host from Melbourne Victory, hear the Queensland Roar. This is the Near Post. Going coast to coast.
The Near Post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the Near Post, get there first.
And just in case you didn't have enough news, Terry, you got some more news that I forgot to mention.
No, I don't have any more news.
Oh, just a good joke.
No. Matildas, there I've got two games coming up against Italy, Parramatta Stadium, 31st of January, we think, and also, more importantly for us here at in 2XX at Canberra on 7th of February.
And it doesn't matter, this show goes national, so you can come down to Canberra for the game if you're listening.
And don't forget the Socceroos in Jakarta on the 26th of January against Indonesia, Asian Cup qualifying.
And they reckon there's going to be 90,000 at that game. That's fantastic. Going to be fantastic. Yeah.
Superb.
Can't wait. Do you reckon we'll ever get a Socceroos game here in Canberra?
Well,
maybe we will.
They're talking about it.
Are they?
Yeah.
Great.
They're talking about, they're saying in the next 2 weeks there's going to be an announcement to say whether the Socceroos will be playing Q8 in the Asian Cup qualifier.
Fantastic.
The ACT government are in talks with the FFA, so we'll see. And that will be a big boost for the Canberra O-League, I'm sure. And I believe that's the reason why they're even talking about it.
Yeah.
But, okay, let's talk W-League. We always start the show with the O-League, but this week, because it's the grand final and it's historic. And we've got Russ Gibbs here, who is the expert on all things W-League. And Terry, we'll start with a question, actually, because although we're going to focus on the teams, my daughter asked me when she was watching the game on the weekend, Eilish Vic, g'day, highlight, Eilish, Dad, why don't as many people watch the W-League as watch the A-League? And I said to her, well, so we had a discussion about, you know, the various factors involved, but I said there's a couple of good friends, one who won't be named, but Richard, and this other guy, two friends I have, Richard Jones and Terry Henry, those two guys both said to me, I both watch a lot of football, come around my house, and I said to my daughter, well, you need to ask them why they don't go and watch any. Now, Terry, have you been to watch any W-League games?
No, I haven't.
Have you watched any on the TV?
I've caught bits and pieces on the TV,
now,
yes.
Now, you're a fanatical football fan. You're also an Arsenal fan. I think that's goes without saying.
Well, so that's not an oxymoron then.
Good. Well, it could be. Yeah. Well, now, Terry, why haven't you been to watch any games? And can you explain to the young girls
well,
out there?
Eilish, bless your cotton little socks at home, and I hope you're listening. I do feel bad about this. I would like to go and see more football. Any excuse, but also I do have some family obligations and getting the time off on the weekends to go and watch live games at the stadium.
Playing the violin.
It's quite challenging, as you might know, because me and our friend Jason were football fans, but my good lady at home and my son aren't quite such strong football fans, and I can't go. They won't let me.
Terry, so that's the reason why
my heart bleeds.
All the W League. That's why the reason the W League only gets 1,000 or 2,000 people at it as opposed to 20,000 is because all the guys like Terry are not allowed to go. Apparently,
I have to prioritise.
Stop it, Terry.
So for all the wives and girlfriends out there, yeah. You can go as well.
Yeah, yeah.
You try getting my wife to go to a football game.
It's another Near Post campaign. Free Terry Henry. Let him go to the game.
Okay. Anyway, Eilish, I'll be watching the grand final on the weekend.
Yes, right, okay. Now the
might
grand final.
Come round to your place.
Good. We look forward to it. The grand final is between the Canberra United and the Queensland Roar. Russ, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, it's going to be a great game, and we've got Queensland Roar up against the only team that they haven't beaten this season. And to be fair, they shouldn't have got anything out of both games against Canberra. The game down here was a bit of a travesty in the fact that Queensland equalised with 3 minutes to go, when really they should have been 2-0 down and out of the game. Casey Dumont, who starred in the semi-final the weekend, was very lucky to be there. She should have been sent off in the Canberra game for bringing down Ashley Sykes with an open goal.
And she would have missed the...
she would have missed the semi-final and wouldn't have been there to save the penalties, which is a bit of a disappointment for Sydney.
Indeed, she saved the one from Sarah Walsh, didn't she?
Absolutely, which was a big talking point at the time, and it made more so after the weekend's game. But, you know, Canberra have got the wood on Queensland. They, like I said, 1-0 up at Queensland, 1-1 down here with a late equaliser. Canberra, if they'd taken the penalty chance, would have been out of sight. It could go either way. Queensland have the home advantage, but I think Canberra have that X factor, and they've got the chance. I think they've got a really good chance of winning it.
I think for Queensland, I think play quite a slow style of football in the midfield. They're quite quick up front, but Alicia Ferguson is probably she certainly looked like she's going to be out for the final. That'll make a difference. It might probably, people won't like to hear this, but I think it might actually benefit Queensland. They might play a faster game. And certainly with their strike force, I mean, Courtney Butel, probably one of the finds of the season for Tom Simoni. I would imagine he'd be, she's one of the top scorers, if not the top scorer. Lana Hart, still scoring goals, and Lauren Colthorpe. So they're a big threat up front. But, of course, the Canberra United defence has been...
it's been very sound this year. I mean, Lydia Williams has been probably the standout goalkeeper along with Casey Dumont in the league, and the back four with the Thea Slatyer and young Rebecca Keating's done a superb job for Canberra back there. But as you mentioned, look, the loss of Alicia Ferguson, if she doesn't play, will be a big blow. But Lauren Colthorpe, who didn't play down here, she's back and playing well at the moment in the middle of the park, so she'll probably sit in there, and I wouldn't be surprised if Kate McShay moves into the middle as well.
No, I think that's probably the way to go. The Queensland Royal, Casey Dumont and Lydia Williams keepers, they both kept 5 clean sheets for the season, and in the past 4 games, each keeper's only let in 3 goals, so that'll tell you the strengths of the teams and the keepers, I guess. And I think they're the next two Matilda's keepers. I know Lydia already is, but I think Casey Dumont, she's over 6 foot.
She's a physical presence. They're very imposing.
I think she's only 16 or 17. So I think Melissa Barbera probably under a bit of a threat there.
Yeah, she's got a big kick on her as well. She can certainly find some distance. But you've summed it up,
Russ,
there.
It's, I think it's the term.
Yeah, it's massive. Yeah. There's these. It's two sides that have got really good defensive qualities, and it's going to take something special to break it down. And I wouldn't be surprised if it does go to extra time.
There is something special on the field, of course. I mean, there's plenty of players: Amy Chapman, Caitlin Munoz, Courtney Butel, Lana Harch. And Ashley Sykes. I mean, I think Ashley was the difference on the weekend. Had that X factor to get away and create the opportunity for Cara Mowbray.
Yeah, she scares Queensland. I think she's got sheer pace, and I don't think Queensland deal very well with pace, especially at the back. They've got some rock-solid defenders. Claire Polkinghorne is absolutely brilliant back there, but they are susceptible to pace, and if Ashley Sykes can get away like she did on the weekend, left Emily Van Engman for dead to cut the ball back there for Cara Mowbray, then that could be an outlet for Canberra, and Canberra have pace throughout the team. Sasha McDonald's not slow, Cara Mowbray's quick as well. That could be a way for Canberra to get on top on the weekend.
Happy birthday, Sasha McDonald. She turned 22 yesterday. Now, Tamika Butt also has pace and is improving with every game. She plays out wide. Russ, next week we'll review the W League season, get you to pick your Matilda squad for Tom Samani, because he probably needs a bit of help. But I would think Amy Chapman's had a great season as well. But Tamika Butt, I mean, you know, there's a bit of a threat there for Amy's position. Tamika probably can play either side, but what do you think?
Yeah, Tamika, she's played when she was down. I've seen her play, obviously, down here and on the TV a few times when she's been playing for Queensland. She could play left or right, right-hand side, which is a bit of a bonus, especially having a player that's got that adaptability. She got pace and trickery, and she can finish as well, which she didn't only show on the weekend, but she's scored some cracking goals throughout the year for Queensland, and she will be one of the ones for them on the weekend that they'll be looking to nullify Canberra, especially down that flank. They may use her as someone to track back to deny Amy Chapman a lot of possession, because obviously she's Canberra's main threat with the dead ball.
Although Queensland, I'd say, play a slightly slower game in the midfield, but up front they've got a lot of pace. But it's going to be 3 o'clock in Queensland afternoon in January. I mean, you wouldn't play football at that time, would you? But anyway, do you think that will affect the game?
Yeah, we'll do. I think we'll see us. Canberra will start, I think, with we're trying to get at them with a bit of pace if they can. But it will be slowed down, and I imagine in the second half we might even see it at a walking pace at some stage. Could only hope for the girls' sake that it doesn't play too much of a factor in the competition in the final, and that the weather, we're talking afterwards about how great it is, and not the fact that someone was too tired to be able to track back and make a challenge.
We're going to talk for Canberra listeners more W League final in a moment, particularly from in the Canberra part of the show, from the Canberra perspective. Terry, your prediction. Canberra United, Queensland Raw in the first inaugural grand final in Queensland. Come on, Terry.
Well, my heart says Canberra. Oh. But my head says
Queensland.
I've no bloody idea, but I think Queensland, probably by a goal, just for the sake of home ground advantage. Yeah. Probably better suited to the conditions.
You'd be lucky to get out of this radio station alive, mate, saying stuff like that. What, Russ, a more expert opinion, if I may say so?
Well, I think it's going to be a very close game from both teams. I think Canberra are going to beat them. I really do. I think they've got the momentum going into it. They've had an extra day's rest. They didn't go to extra time, unlike Queensland on the weekend. They've got quality throughout the team. I think Canberra are going to win. They'll get matched 2-1.
Big prediction. Okay, well,
what's yours, Amy?
I was going to go for a draw, but I can't.
Can I? Penalty shootout.
Well, my heart, of course, says Canberra, but I think, I don't know, I think Queensland home advantage. I mean, it's tough on the, you know, the Canberra players are up in Newcastle last weekend, and they've got to travel again to Queensland. I think that might just be the difference, but, you know, I'm hopeful. I've enjoyed watching Ashley Sykes this season, particularly, apart from the rest of the team, but I think Ashley Sykes could be the difference, and I think this week she might score the winner. So, Queensland to win, but actually start to score the winner. So work that out.
2-1 Canberra after extra time.
Okay. All right, now we're talking A-League right after this.
Hi, I'm Simon Hill from Fox Sports, and you're listening to The Near Post across the Australian Community Radio Network.
That was Australia's finest commentator, alongside the likes of Russ Gibbs, Simon Hill.
Well, thanks very much.
No, not a problem. I've heard the calls. Adelaide 2, Newcastle Jets 0, in front of 13,000 at Hindmarsh Central Coast 3, Queensland Raw 4 in a thriller at the Central Coast Stadium. Sydney, with the wonderful Kofi Dining from Canberra 1, Wellington Phoenix 0, probably hindering Wellington's chances, and there was only 3 games. No,
there wasn't. Perth Glory 3, Melbourne 2.
Melbourne 2 in a cracker of a game. Now, Terry, which game do you want to focus on?
I think the Queensland Central Coast game, just for its sheer drama and excitement, was a crackerjack game and highlight of the weekend for me. Don't know about you, Russ.
Absolutely. There's some abysmal defending, wasn't there?
There was some dodgy stuff, but yeah. I love looking over. That's what I mentioned Taj Minicon before.
He's
a great talent.
You want
bags of goals, lots of entertainment.
So Taj Minicon, you like?
Fantastic.
You like
great performance.
Yeah, it was. It was an exciting
performance.
Took
his goal beautifully, too.
Okay, I mean.
And some for the Gold Coast as well.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting move.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's what's going to happen with the salary cap. Any player that's on a 2-year deal and like Queensland, if they don't, you know, I don't know what they're paying him, but they might be paying him 50, 60, 70,000. So what are you going to do? You're just going to come in and offer him 90 or 100 and he's going to go, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good move for him, I think. I mean, I did read an interview with him in the week.
Where would you want to go?
Football obligations.
Gold Coast or Townsville?
Gold Coast over Townsville.
I mean, they're going to have, you know, Jason Clean, Adam Griffiths, Shane Smeltz. Russ's favourite striker.
They're looking very strong, aren't they?
They are looking strong. It makes you wonder about the salary cap, doesn't it? Anyway,
it does.
when Townsville have signed Jacob Timpano, I think he doesn't play. Brendan Santilab, who's played a couple of games, and Robbie Middleby is at the end of his career.
I think Minicon's gone in on the youth marquee.
That's probably 150,000.
That's probably what he's that's taking him out of the equation. So.
Well, that's good. That's good. And Terry, Adelaide United, they've got a game tomorrow night against Queensland. They beat Newcastle Jets 2-0. Got
big game,
tomorrow.
But they didn't look totally convincing. I have to say, the last few times I've seen Adelaide, whilst they're winning and they're up at the top, they don't look particularly fluid and haven't been as exciting as they were earlier in the season, I don't think. But they got the 3 points.
The defence is the secret. They've let in 18 goals, which is much less than anybody else. And they're defensively, and that's probably come out of their Asian campaign. They're a lot stronger and tighter defensively, but they're not playing with the flair that they were.
Yeah, and they've had an intense campaign over the last few months as well. And maybe that's catching up with them. But, fair play to them. They're up there. Barbiero took his first goal really well.
It is.
And then they scored on the break in the second half, Pantelis. And it was a good result. Good to see again that Adelaide crowd, though, all decked out in red.
Fantastic, isn't it? We were wondering about that. How do you reckon the crowd, you know, get all their red shirts? I mean, are they provided with them? Because it just seems unusual that no other team in any code of football in Australia brings such colour in such numbers. I mean,
the merchandising department does obviously a good job, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it does. It's fantastic. And I mean,
red always looks good on TV. Yeah. I'm not sure I'd be going to the Queensland game wearing that Queensland shirt.
No, they had 23,000 at Adelaide for the Sydney game, and I mean the same thing. Yeah. It was just red. So they've all got the shirts, even if not going to the game.
But a big game coming up tomorrow night against Queensland. That's a big game for both teams, isn't it?
Okay, so yeah, it is. And I want to get to your team of the season, Terry. So very quickly, we'll just go through Adelaide Queensland tomorrow night on Wednesday night. Quick prediction.
I think Queensland.
Okay.
I think they're going to sneak it.
Russ.
Yeah, I think Charlie Miller might be back. So. Fingers crossed, I think we'll get a high-scoring game.
On Friday at the Dome, it's Melbourne versus Central Coast.
Victory to bounce back.
Yep, Melbourne.
Okay, so Central Coast could be out of it, or slipping down the table. So Queensland-Sydney on Saturday, after the women's grand final, a different venue. Queensland for you?
Queensland for me as well.
Okay, so two big games for Queensland. Wellington-Adelaide. Wellington's last chance, probably.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. Wellington at home have been quite difficult to beat lately, and like I said, I don't think Adelaide have been playing that well. But I don't know. I probably lean to an Adelaide win.
I'll go for a draw.
And Newcastle Perth in the bottom of the title.
Who cares?
Bags and bags of goals.
Okay. Who cares? Now, Terry, we do care. We care about your team. Tell us about your A League team. Okay, drum roll. Terry Henry's dream team of the season.
Now look, you know I'm a bit sensitive to some of your barbs. So
Terry,
just
get on with it.
All
this
right.
is like John Cosmina coming out and saying, "Now hang on, I'm sorry about your picking Team City."
All right, this is Terry's team of the year. In goal, Eugene Galekovic. I think he's been very consistent and outstanding
No arguments there.
Okay. I've gone for a 4-4-2 formation, but probably have a couple of players slightly out of position. Left fullback Scott Jamieson from Adelaide.
Yep.
I thought long and hard about the other fullback. I did think long and hard about Matthew Kemp, but I suspect he's been replaced now, and I put Kevin Muscat slightly out of position, but I put him at right fullback. He's had a good solid year again.
I'll put Muscat in my team as well.
Not a right fullback, but anyway, go on.
No, not a right fullback.
And central defence, I've got Craig Moore and Rodrigo Vargas. Good solid defence, I think.
Yeah, I think you could have gone with Sasha Agonovsky from Adelaide.
And I think you need another fullback. Can we give him another fullback? Because he needs the help. He can't have Muscat. He's too slow for fullback.
No.
Who are we going to have at fullback?
Who can play back there? Cassio can play back there, I suppose, couldn't he?
Yeah, he plays on the left.
Well, I had him originally at fullback, and then I was held down because he hasn't actually, even though he's listed in the Hyundai A League website as being left fullback, he hasn't played there all season.
No, what about Tariq Elrich? Okay.
It's one of the positions where there isn't many standouts.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway.
What, you mean he's got it right?
No, well.
Okay, give me your midfield.
Okay, the midfield. Okay, a bit of an attacking midfield. Hernandez, Caceres, Cassio, and my mate Taj Minicon.
A bit of an attacking midfield. Is anybody going to make a tackle in that midfield?
Well, that's why we've got Muscat.
I've got
I thought, well, the other one, I mean, I must admit, Madoka was close for me as well, being in there, being that sort of defensive Reed.
I'd play him fullback, actually, but you've got to have Paul Reed in there, haven't you?
Yeah, well, Reed from Adelaide as well. But he's just not exciting.
You can't have Caceres and Hernandez.
I want
in
an excitement
team.
Machine team, and that's why I went for those.
Okay. And Travis Dodd.
Yeah, well, he was actually in there originally. But again, he's another attacking player, I thought. But anyway.
And Charlie Miller.
Hasn't played enough games. If you're basing on the first five games of the season, Charlie was
okay, and your two strikers?
Shane Smeltz and Sergio Van Dijk.
No place for Archie Thompson or Matt Simon or Eugene Duddy.
What
about Nikita? I just like the way Van Dijk, he's missed a few easy chances over the season, but he's seen. I just really enjoy the way he plays and links up with the Queensland midfield.
You like the way he misses those chances.
And he scored some good goals lately. And he takes a mean free kick.
Well, we can argue with that.
That's just my team.
Yeah.
That's fair enough.
And
it's an attacking team, Terry.
It is.
Oh, and Arsenal should be proud of you. He grew up watching George Graham doing it the hard way. But
it's tricky, though, isn't it? I mean, there's plenty of other players that could have got to mention. Daniel from Wellington Phoenix has had a good season.
Yep.
Shannon Cole has been probably a standout for Sydney in a poor side.
Yep.
And I thought Adam Griffiths at Newcastle Jets has been excellent in a side that's really struggled.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of... and, of course, Cassio and Diego, I mean, you could have had...
But if you're out...
And I thought about Nicolai as well in the central defence, because I think, actually, since he moved back from fullback into central defence, Perth's defence has looked a lot
Eugene Duddy, Nikita Rukovic, I reckon they could both be considered.
But I think what we've come to the conclusion that if you're out there and a youngster and you're looking for a position to play in the A-League, get out there and try fullback.
Okay, well, that wraps up the national show. Stay with us for the camera show. If you're going to the near post...
Get there first.
Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there first.
Welcome back to the local part of the show. We're talking... we're talking camera football in all its finest form. Now, we've got three major topics tonight. We've got the W League, we've got A League, Canberra A League, and we've also got futsal, because the national titles were on last week. Russ, we've got any news to start with?
Basically, what you've just mentioned. We've got ACT futsal stuff coming through. We won't go into that in too much detail because we've got that. But obviously, we'll start with a couple of the local lads. Kofi Danning scoring the opening goal, the only goal of the game for Sydney FC in their 1-0 victory on the weekend. And another youngster, Cody Larkin from the O'Connor Knights, who benched for Adelaide United on the weekend as well. And he's on the bench again tomorrow. He's a young goalkeeper from local O'Connor Knights team. So congratulations to both.
Yeah, Kofi came from Majura via Canberra FC to O'Connor Knights. I think there's three clubs in town that claim to have brought Kofi to the standard, although we had him on the near post. We think we certainly helped his media presence. And did you see his interview, Terry, after the game?
No.
No. That doesn't really help radio, does it?
No, not entirely.
But it was a marvellous interview. It was full of enthusiasm. And the happiest man I've seen in a long time.
He had a big beaming smile on his face, didn't he? He couldn't have been happier than that.
And he thanked his mum and his dad and all his coaches and everyone who brought him there, the near post.
He
thanked everybody. It was great. And it was the warmth and the enthusiasm that came through. You only hope that he's able to maintain that for... which is going to be, a great career, hopefully. But it was fantastic.
Yeah, Cody, we just mentioned.
Yeah, Cody Larkin playing for Adelaide United, the champions or runners-up in the Asian Champions League. Cody Larkin, the O'Connor Knights keeper, was he?
O'Connor Knights, yeah, and he played for the ACT Rockets Youth in the matches that they had against when Central Coast came down. They had a warm-up game.
Yeah, so he's been on the bench. He's got a couple of games with the Adelaide United youth side, and now he's on the bench, and he'll be on the bench tomorrow night, I'm led to believe. So, yeah, he's gone over there. He's moved himself over to Adelaide. To try and get a full-time place, and I guess that's the way you've got to do it. It's obviously not going to be very lucrative, but I mean, you've got to admire a guy who moves uproots home and goes to Adelaide to train and just hopes his chance comes along. And because Mark Birighetti's been injured, he's got his chance.
Well, he finds himself on the bench, and he's an inexperienced goalkeeper, played a bit in the ACT Premier League, obviously, for the O'Connor Knights, but this is great experience for him. And you can imagine his nerves sitting on that bench, hoping nothing happens to Klekovic, wanting to go out there and prove himself, but thinking, well,
and maybe the other way, maybe he hopes them. I mean, if you've gone all the way over there and you want to get a place, you're perhaps hoping that Klekovic gets a bad knee.
Well, let's see what happens tomorrow, because he's the next one in line if Klekovic does fall over.
And it just goes to show O'Connor Knights is the way to the O-League. Kofi Dunning, Cody Larkin, if you want to get a place in the early, go to O'Connor Knights.
Yeah, well, we had Dean of Greenwich in here the other week, didn't we? And he's a coach there, so he's obviously doing something right with the players, bringing them through.
It's good stuff. Now, and ANU have had a couple of games, John Mitchell's ANU side, which is full of talented young players this season. They've been training. He had 30 players at training a couple of weeks ago, the night before they went to play the Newcastle Jets, whom they beat. And then last week they played Sydney FC. They went down 2-0 to Sydney FC. But again, it's quite a young team that John's got. But interesting to see, you know, what's going on there. The standard of training and also the number of times of training and the quality of games again.
Yeah, it's good for ANU that they can get these players in and out there, excuse me, and playing those games. Obviously, they've got the time and the inclination to get out there and do the training. I'm hearing it's 4 or 5 times a week at the moment. And getting games against a quality of size like Newcastle Jets and Sydney FC Youth is only going to help them. It'll be interesting to see how they go when the Premier League season kicks off in March, I think it is, or late March, early April.
Yeah, it will be. Canberra O-League, I think. Have you got any more news?
Yeah, the Canberra Tigers, 6,000 pledges on the Canberra A-League bid now, which is fantastic news.
It is. So that's the bid's moving ahead at a pace, and we're working towards, I guess, an end of February deadline. So if you can volunteer to sign up people, that'll be awesome or massive. And we're going to venues like the Multicultural Festival, the Canberra... Canberra Centre, I think it's called, yeah, down in Bunda Street every Saturday and Sunday. We're down there, so if you can help out, get in touch with the Canberra A-League, bid through the Canberra A-League website. And also we'll be going hopefully to the Matildas game, the club registration day. We need people at club, all the clubs, anyone who can help out at club registration day, please get in touch. And just at your workplace or your school or even your home, if you can get 5, 10, 20, 100 people, please help any way you can. Coomer and Goulburn have got big campaigns going on at the moment as well to get numbers. So that's looking good. And we're working hard on getting the sponsorships, corporate support as well. So they're probably the key things. And you should be hearing a lot more about that in the next few weeks. And hopefully, my prediction here on the Near Post, Canberra's in.
I'm not going to argue with that. Seems like you're the project manager.
Well, that's right. But I mean, not that I know, but my sense of the whole thing is that, it's coming together at a rapid pace. And the... I'm just getting a real sense of feeling. And I think the fact that they're talking about having a Socceroos game here, what do you think, Terry? I think that's a real sign.
Well, I think so. I mean, it must be a part of the FFA's strategy to sort of gauge the level of support for Canberra.
And, you think, why would they bring the game? You wouldn't, would you? I wouldn't have thought you'd take it to the Gold Coast or Townsville. But
well, that's right.
Caught up with Ned Zelic about the Canberra League bid, and this is what he had to say.
There's real ambition about this bid as well to... you know, not just get in there and be successful with a bid, but to have a really good competitive team, which is really important. Which is, I myself, you know, I've been ambassador now for the Canberra bid for a couple of months now, and just speaking to people here, and there's definitely, you know, a lot of support there, even without the signatures. So, you know, what it really comes down to is showing the people up in Sydney, the decision makers, that there's support here. But to be honest with you, I think they know that already.
Yeah. Is there another way they can do that? Does a bid kind of need to go to the next level now? It's getting down to crunch time, decisions will be made soon. Does it kind of need to step up now?
Well, you know, what's stepping up? I think the people involved have, you know, done their utmost. you know, they've been up there to Sydney and spoken to the decision makers, and you know, they've shown them as well that they've got financial support as well, which is really important if you want to get a team in the A-League.
You're going to be throwing any of your hard-earned cash behind the team?
Oh, we'll see down the track. That's something we'll talk about. We've discussed it. We'll see down the track. But the most important thing is that the bid is successful, and then things will pretty much snowball from then on in.
You've spoken before about the possibility of a coaching role with the side. Is that still something you would like to consider?
Yeah, definitely down the track. But for now, I'd like to maybe get into a bit of junior development and things like that. And, you know, maybe that's something that I'd look at probably starting off with, you know, if the bid was successful. You know, whether or not I want to be coaching the team, yeah, definitely down the track I want to get into coaching. But I'm the sort of person, I don't like to plan too far ahead anyway.
And that was Ned Zelich talking about the Canberra A-League bid. Terry, you any thoughts on the A-League bid as you head off into the cold Canberra night?
Well, I just can't wait for a decision just to let us put us out of our misery. But, yeah, no, it's all looking good. And, you know, I'm very confident that we'll have a team up and running for the 2010 season.
Well, I think you're right. That's good. OK, well, we hope to get a decision in a few weeks. So, yeah, all right. Well, thanks for joining us tonight, Terry, and we look forward to your report on the W League game next week.
Yeah, good luck to the Canberra women for the game on the weekend.
OK, cheers, Terry. And Russ and I are going to talk futsal. Russ, you were at the ACT Futsal Championships, or the finals of the men's and women's. I went to a couple of the... I went to the under-11s and under-14s ACT Cobras versus... And I think it was New South Wales in both games. Yeah, and I think I can't remember the score other than that New South Wales won both games. I think it was 3 or 4-1 in the under 11 games from memory, and maybe 5-1 in the under 14 games. But I enjoyed them. It was good. I didn't get to many of the games, but they were the two that I got to. And it was good to see the young players doing their best for Canberra, and lots of skill out there. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, it was the National Futsal Championships, obviously, and the ACT and the junior sections did get to four finals, the two you mentioned, plus the, I think it was the under-15 girls and the under-14 boys. And unfortunately, the New South Wales Thunder were too strong for everybody, for our representatives in all those age groups, and they were prevailed and were champions in all those age groups. The two games that I went to see on the weekend were the men's open final and the women's open final. Between the men's open final, New South Wales Thunder and the ACT Cobras, and the women's open was an all New South Wales affair between the Thunder and Lightning, and they were cracking matches.
I was interested. I mean, I suppose I was watching the ACT teams particularly, I suppose, and I mean, I haven't watched a lot of futsal over the years. I've played a little bit, but I haven't watched a lot. I was interested in the way the ACT teams, well, not just the ACT teams, all the teams that I saw in the finals, they were all quite well coached in terms of tactics and whatever. One thing I thought that was missing, and this isn't a criticism of the players in any way, it's just an observation, really, that I suppose when I've watched futsal in other countries, like in Brazil and that, you see the flicks and whatever. And well, certainly when you play futsal, you know, you see a lot of kids who can do a lot of flicks and a lot of stuff. But when it comes down to competitive football, it seems a lot of those flicks, that natural instinct, if you like, has gone out while we coach players' patterns and strategy. Now, I'm not saying I'm an expert, so maybe that's the way you need to play. I mean, but it seems to me there's not many back heels going on, not many flicks. Maybe you can't do that at that level. Is that...
Well, there was a fair bit in the men's final between, you know, the ACT Cobras and the Thunder. There were some good skills shown by players taking people on. But I think when you get to the finals of these things, the natural instinct is to curb it a little bit because you don't want to make mistakes. I mean, it can look great if you're going to try and dribble past the player and beat someone with a bit of ability and a bit of skill. But if you lose possession, suddenly you're going to be putting your team into all sorts of under pressure. And these teams at the top levels, they break so quickly. So maybe it's just a question that they're coached, like you said, in terms of zones and in terms of keeping patterns of play and keeping possession and not risking things and hoping to take advantage of any openings that come up, which happened on the weekend. The match.
I mean, I noticed that last week last year I went to watch the men's and particularly the men's finals and some of the men's games. And the same thing, obviously the ACT are one of the top teams, so I hadn't seen that level of futsal before. So I was just surprised, given that I'd seen the Solomons play. And now the Solomons do have a fair bit more flair. Not to say that they're better players than the Canberra and New South Wales players. And obviously their results last year they didn't win. So people could argue that they're not, but just they had more flair in a lot of their play, which I don't know, I'm just a bit of a purist there. I like my skill, but I'll take your point, Russ. I think in the finals you've got to do
I think they're not coached to the same level of standard that they're getting from the coaches that are playing, coaching the New South Wales and the ACT teams, and that's probably showing they're left with a bit more of their individuality. And whereas it's difficult though to say which is the right way to go. Just to confirm though, that New South Wales did win on the weekend 2-1 against the Cobras, with a free shot in front of goal with 10 seconds remaining, which was an absolute gutter and heartbreak for the ACT boys, who obviously, had they won, would have been heading off to Asia.
Yeah, particularly when you're heading off to Asia as a prize. Now, I had an interview with Simon Cravis, did an interview for the Near Post with Peter Fennell. He's the coach of the under-11 ACT team. And he just, it's an interesting discussion on coaching. Peter, I know, was putting in a lot of work preparing the girls, and he managed to get the team to the final, which was a fantastic achievement. And watching the game, they were certainly really well coached. They played really well. I don't know any of the players in the team, but I certainly enjoyed watching them. And they were just a bit unfortunate towards the end of the game. New South Wales got away. Sometimes teams can get away. But certainly, I know, a fantastic effort for all the ACT teams. But I'd like to mention the under-11s and under-14 teams. The two games I saw, they played really well, and they were well coached. And Peter had some interesting thoughts, and this is what he had to say.
Boys, my wife encouraged me to start coaching the girls. She thought that was a reasonable thing to do, as so much time had been given to the boys. I coached the under-13s Colts last year, a very impressive group. And this year I'm doing the under-11 girls. Very skillful, athletic group. They all play football and they all also play an amount of futsal. The two work for each other, but there are certain aspects of futsal that in terms of gaming that don't sit entirely well, and technically that don't sit entirely well with football. It's more emphasis than specific unacceptability. Preparation for a national competition is a vexed issue, where we're dealing with juniors and youth players. We start, the futsal season starts after football ends, but of course it continues over the school year. At a time when other sports are in progress and meet for our young and talented athletes. In our case, in the ACT, the selection trials will run well in advance. You proceed to identify players that you think at the time are best able to cope. Now, and in the ACT, where it's possible to run two teams into the nationals, they do exactly that, and of course that's sensible because the competition is in Canberra. We don't have to travel. The more vexed question is how much work you do before you get to a competition. There are some that favour a lot of training. The reality is you can't get the players to a lot of training because, for the reason I mentioned before, there are demands on their time. The school co-curricular activities and other activities that occur outside school. So you tap away at this at one time a week for an hour or so, and then later on the weekends, which seems to be more amenable to training. And the pace then accelerates as you get into the holiday period. Of course, the other thing is cost. These activities are never cheap to families, and we need to keep that in mind. How you prepare? Well, that's very much a case. Coaches have different approaches to this. For myself, with the under-11 players, you've got to be very careful how much you try and correct and how much you try to introduce that is new. And in terms of correction, you target the basic technical skills of passing, receiving and movement, and of course defending. From then on you identify those areas of the game that gets players of these ages into difficulty when they play, and give them workable solutions to get out of those circumstances without producing a textbook. And from there you game. You play as much as you can between your players, small-sided games, and play against other teams, which is a difficulty we have here in the ACT because of the number of players and teams. But you strive to play quite a few games as the competition gets closer so that you have the opportunity to practice as in live circumstances. So that's generally how teams would build. The older teams are more tactically aware and more experienced, so you're able to approach the preparation in a different manner. I think certainly in the junior area and perhaps the lower end of youth, which I've coached in, that coaching the girls is a lot easier than coaching the boys. Rather controversial perhaps. I'd put that down to the fact that generally speaking, the girls, you can multitask. Boys, you'd have to generally do one thing after another and not get too far ahead of yourself. Girls concentrate on getting their technique right. Boys tend to cover the technical gap with sheer physicality, which, of course, can bring its own difficulties in a game. They're broad differences. Standard of play in the age teams at the same age can be surprisingly close, but for different reasons.
That was Peter Fennell talking about the ACT girls football team, which Eamon was lucky to see on the weekend. And we're just confirming that the ACT football finals, they lost 2-1 to New South Wales. That would have been disappointing, wouldn't it, Eamon, considering they'd talked about the Asian Champions League and the opportunity to represent Australia in that competition.
For the men's team, yeah, the men's team have been particularly successful over the last few years in futsal. So for them to have to lose in the last 10 seconds. Russ, you were at the game. Who was playing in the team?
Yeah, the ACT team, they had a pretty strong side. They had players of the calibre of Trent Flanagan out there, Matt Mentzer, Pat Ross McGee. He had a great game again. He's one of the big talents to look for. Angelo Constantino was in goal. Elliot Zwangabani was the coach or co-coach with Angelo. So they had a lot of names from the ACT scene. They were unfortunate. They played pretty well. They had a chance with Matt Mentzer with a free shot from the 10-yard line in extra time about 2 minutes in. Was well saved by by Peter Spathis in the New South Wales goal. But that for a time, it looked in the first half like New South Wales were going to walk it. They took the lead early on, but then they had two players sent off, which changed the complexion of the game entirely.
Yeah, interesting. There's no national coach around at the moment. And I know Elliot Zwangabani has been combining his playing coaching of the ACT with having to go around and watch some of the other games to be a national selector. So maybe that's a future for Elliot as the national coach.
Yeah, he certainly knows the game inside out. He coached it quite well on the weekend. Obviously did enough to get the boys to the final. And, I can't say how upset they were. I mean, after the final whistle, you only needed to see the excitement on the faces of the New South Wales squad to realise that they were that, what it meant to them. And I think in one of their squad, I think seemed to recognise one of their players off of the football superstar show. He was sitting on the bench, didn't get a run though. Brian McFadden. Fox Sports, the Fox show then. Yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to talk W League for the rest of the show. The big final on the weekend, Canberra United. We're totally biased. We're going to talk about it from Canberra United perspective. Russ, what does this mean, do you think, for the football in Canberra, for W League, for Canberra, for women's football?
Well, it's difficult to say, isn't it? I mean, what it means, it means the absolute world to everybody at the moment, I think. It's such a big occasion that... It's speaking to players, people that are involved this week. I had a brief chat with Ellie Brush today, asking her about the yearbook to contribute her thoughts. And you could just tell by the way that she was talking that she's so excited. There's obviously going to be some nerves as well. I had a chat with Chris Gottes, the media manager at Capital Football today, as we generally do, talking about news and stuff. And we said after about three rounds this season, when they'd been beaten by Newcastle Jets, they'd done well to beat Queensland away, but then they'd lost at home to Central Coast and we were sitting seventh out of eight on the ladder, that you thought it was going to be a really long, hard season. Now, it's been a really long season, but what a season it's been. The turnaround's been amazing.
I've got a great story. Mark Parton, who former FM 104.7 host and now, I think, on 2CC. Great story. Mark's a big AFL fan, but he's also right behind the Canberra A-League bid. And I sort of asked him, I said, why are you, taking... In fact, he said, some of his mates have said, why are you getting behind the soccer bid? And he just says, well, I believe that anything that's good for Canberra is good... anything that's good, yes, good. If it's good for Canberra, then I want it. So, and he said the A-League, he said he just thinks it's something we need to have. But he hasn't been to many games, he said, over his life, I suppose. He's been a big AFL follower, but he's got two daughters. So he said, as the first Canberra United game started at McKellar, he emailed me to say, I'm just guess where I am, and he said, I'm just off to my daughters have just dragged me to watch Canberra United. So we had a little chuckle. Anyway, the season's gone on and Mark's continued to go, and his daughters I don't know how old they are, but one of them is certainly eight and I don't know how old the older one is. So just talking to him or texting him this week, and he said basically the story was on the weekend the daughters were watching the Sydney United Sydney FC Queensland game, absolutely wrapped watching it the whole game, and the 8-year-old was glued to the box, desperate for Sydney to win, so that Canberra could have their home final. So a really nice story there, Russ, and it's good.
Yes, fantastic. I spoke to Mark again today. He's another contributor to the Canberra Yearbook. He's going to tell his story there. But he mentioned he finds it amazing that the beauty of the war game, as he said to us today, was that a team can dominate for 85 minutes, but it only takes that 1 minute of genius or one spark of creativity for the opposition to go up the other end and score. And he said in his game in the AFL, obviously, if a team dominates, they're going to win. And so it's probably the same for most sports.
We'll get criticised a lot that, we dominated all game, but the other team won. But, you know, when you're playing the game, you're so into the game that if you're down and defending and working hard to keep the other team out, if you then are able to create a goal or use some of the tactics of the team or the players' attributes, like Ashley Sykes, and Caitlin Munoz and Amy Chapman releasing her on the weekend, the players in that team will think they've worked really hard. They've tried to reduce Newcastle's opportunities. Obviously, Newcastle had all the play, but they've worked really hard to close them down. And they've used their talents. And I mean, the way the game worked, I mean, they released Ashley Sykes again in the second half, and they could have got another goal. And there's not one player or one supporter in that team or of Canberra United who would have been disappointed if they'd have grabbed the second goal, would they? I mean, that's the beauty of the game, isn't it, really?
Yeah, absolutely. And Thea Slattery said in her after-match interview that perhaps them scoring after 25 minutes was a bit of a curse, insofar as they got the goal. We know how good Canberra are at defending. You know how difficult it is for teams to break down the Canberra team, specifically with that defensive four that we've mentioned so many times before, and Lydia Williams in goal. That scoring so early, they suddenly switch off from the attacking mode and go, right, we've scored our goal. Perhaps it's time to sit back and defend. And it did invite Newcastle onto them on the weekend. But when you've got someone like Ashley Sykes, you can afford that, because then you can pick them off on the break. Sasha McDonald had a chance, and Ashley Sykes had a great chance to make it 2-0.
That's right. And I mean, the other thing is, that's the beauty of the game, isn't it? Different styles. Newcastle Jets obviously push forward in great numbers. But, you know, if they can't break through and they can't get a goal, well, you know,
yeah, they had enough chances, didn't they? Let's be fair, they had ample opportunities. Yeah. Lydia Williams, who's been outstanding all season, made some great saves again. But
She had a superb game, didn't she? Who else do you think, Russ, were the key players for you on the weekend?
Well, it surprised me with the lineup that he picked on the weekend with his two first choice midfielders, if you like, Grace Gill and Sian Macheski. They were both back from injury and suspension. Rested in Sian's case against Queensland. But he put them both on the bench, and he went with the midfield of Hayley Crawford and Sasha McDonald, which on paper you think is a bit weaker, but Hayley Crawford once again was outstanding. I mean, her link-up play is superb.
Also, I think Robbie's is a smart coach. I think he was aware that Grace and Sian hadn't played. Maybe he was thinking, well, this is a 90-minute game, I'm going to have to use all these players. Sasha McDonald, probably not a midfielder in the true sense of the word, is probably unable to keep that pace going at her. I mean, she plays a really fast game, so why not use her for 60 minutes and then bring in Sian or Grace. And Sian will do a similar sort of job, and you're really in the heat in Newcastle. You're really getting the most out of the players by being able to replace those four or rotate those four in the midfield, which is smart coaching, I think. The commentator said Sasha McDonald wasn't happy when she came off, but that's a good thing, isn't it?
Well, yeah, of course, no one's going to be happy taken off in a semi-final at 1-0 up. Everybody wants to stay out there. To see that in a player, when a player's happy to come off, then you're like, well, they've either run themselves into the ground, which again is a good thing, or, he's going to be happy to be dragged. But
the coverage they got in the Canberra Times, I think, and on the local radio stations, I mean, it's been excellent. I mean, it's really given a boost to football in this town, and it's been amazing to see the amount of coverage. I've been really surprised, actually, by the amount of consistent quality coverage we've had. I mean, Merrin Sherwood's done an absolutely outstanding job, but the fact that the Canberra Times have run their stories, it's good.
That's kudos to the Canberra Times when you can pick up the Sunday paper and you turn to the back cover and there are the Canberra girls celebrating their passage into the grand final win a few years ago. That would have probably merited a couple of column inches in three or four pages in. But yeah, their coverage has been consistently good this year. Driving to work, you get all the radio stations putting their little bits across, and it's great to see that everybody's behind them. It's just a disappointing thing that there hasn't been more time for Capital Football or Canberra United themselves to organise a supporters trip up to the final. Having a week's break in between the two doesn't give you much time to prepare these things. Otherwise, I think you would have seen a fair turnout from the Canberra support, as there was a good turnout at Saturday at Queen's.
There was.
Newcastle.
The bus was more or less full, but also there was another 30, 40 people apparently who went there. And I wouldn't be surprised, Russ, if you find there'll be a few green Capital Punishment Kermit supporters, whatever you want to call them, around the ground at Ballymore on the weekend.
There certainly will be. I mean, we'd have had a bigger crowd had obviously the game been at Canberra than I think we're going to get at Ballymore, to be perfectly honest.
It kind of it annoyed me. You know, even though Canberra United weren't playing in the Sydney-Queensland game, it kind of summed up Canberra's season. Because, you know, just when you thought they might get a home final, you thought, here comes Sarah Walsh to put Sydney and therefore Canberra right back in the driving seat for a home semi, and she misses. And you think, if somebody was going to score, it's going to be Sarah Walsh. And kind of that's how the season has been going. Like, we've always, you know, we've had some games where we've done really well away from home, and then you come back and you think, right, we beat Newcastle or we beat somebody, and then we're going to win at home, and then we draw or whatever. And then they pick themselves up again, and they've played really well, but just, they've never quite got that superb run going. You know, even in the semi against, or in the game against Queensland, where you thought, right, penalty early brush, we're going to win this. And then, bang.
Yeah, I mean,
and then we draw. You know, so it's been that sort of season. And I thought that game, Sydney and Queensland, had Canberra written all over it. You know, just like, we nearly got the home final, so close and yet so far. And we're going to have to win this the hard way if we're going to win it. We beat Newcastle away, and now we have, you know, when we should have had a home semi probably, when Ellie stepped up to take that penalty, yeah, we all thought, home semi coming up. And then, you know, we didn't get that, and now we've got to go on the road again to Queensland.
Well, 8 games unbeaten, it tells its own story in terms of statistics, but the quality at home, for some reason, whether teams get a bit of a buzz playing at McKellar because the surface is so much better than what they're used to.
I think also the atmosphere. I mean, if you're coming to play at a great stadium with great supporters.
Average of about 800 to 900 each year, each week. But I think it's going to be Canberra's away form has been sensational this year, apart from the minor blip at Newcastle in the first game, in which they should have won again. They had chances. So, you know, it's away from home. Anything could happen. It's a final.
It's going to be great. It's going to be on the telly. It's going to be live on the telly. So I think a lot of people are going down to the tradies at Dixon. If you want a big crowd and join in with all the atmosphere there, so join at the tradies, kick off 4 o'clock. I think key players, Thea Slatcher, Lydia Williams, no doubt. Also, for me, Caitlin Munoz probably is a key in the attacking sense. But I think everyone's going to be a key player. Amy Chapman up and down the line.
Yeah, Ellie Brush is going to have a good game at the back. Hayley Crawford in midfield. You know, you can't afford anybody to have a poor game in a final, and especially not against a team of the quality of
Queensland. You've got two quality player teams, you know, with so many good players that really, you're going to see some really exciting football. It's just great to see the development of women's football, and the fact that we've had the chance to see it live on TV, you know, it's great, and so many people have been talking about it, and it's going to be a terrific final, I think.
You just hope that it's a bit of quality and not a mistake that decides the match. We've talked about Casey Dumont.
I don't mind a mistake if Casey Dumont.
If it's our way. We've talked about Casey Dumont, the fact that she's very lucky to be there. It's only her presence, I think, that means that the final isn't in Canberra.
One point, the standard refereeing's been, I reckon, pretty poor this season. But I'm not bothered about that. I think, like, what will happen is the standard will lift as the years go on. I mean, you don't necessarily want to chuck a load of men in there or whatever. I think you keep the women that are there, and they will learn pretty quickly. Yeah, there's been some shocking decisions, let's face it, absolutely shocking. But it can't be that difficult to raise the standard. They're at a standard now. Next year, hopefully, they'll be better. Let's hope there's no cock-ups in the final.
As long as they review it and we get a good referee. I don't know who it is. I've been badgering them all week to let me know who is refereeing the final, but I haven't heard anyone yet. My guess is it might be Casey Rebolt, which would be interesting for Canberra. She's got a thing about sending... She's the referee that sent Thea Slattery off earlier in the season.
Right, shocking.
So, Jackie Markstrom on the weekend, she had her good points and bad points. She was the referee that failed to send off Casey Dumont against
Queensland.
The
thing is, it's not the good points. A lot of the refs have good points. It's when they're bad points. Some of them have been so bad.
Well, that's consistency. The Casey Dumont sending off was a case in point. Central Coast Mariners earlier in the year, the same scenario. The keeper, forget her name now, she brought down Cara Mowbray with an open goal. She was dismissed. Canberra scored the penalty. Went on to lose again 2-1. But Casey Dumont, exactly the same scenario on the weekend. Same position, not even a yellow card, which was unbelievable.
Oh, well.
Anyway, that's passed, and we're all waiting for the final.
That's right. It should be a great game. Canberra United versus Queensland Raw, 4 o'clock on Saturday.
Saturday it is, and Canberra to win.
Canberra to win. Okay. All right, Ross. Well, thanks very much. Next week we'll be back, no doubt, to talk about the Canberra win. What score do you reckon?
I've gone 2-1 Canberra.
2-1, yeah. In the national show, I was a bit unsure, but in the local show, 3-0 to Canberra, okay? All right, so if you're going to the near post...
Especially if you're Canberra, get there first.
Well, whether you're attacking or defending, get there first, yeah.
Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there first.